God encourages us to dream big, to dream small, to dream global, to dream local, to dream about things others simply wouldn't understand, to dream about the everyday and the extraordinary. God encourages us to dream about the past, the present, and the future, to imagine how things might have been, to acknowledge how things are, and to envision how they might be. And in our dreaming, God encourages us to share with all who will listen pictures of a future where none are excluded, where all belong, where no one is homeless or hungry or unwanted, where all are valued and loved for who they are and not for what they bring, where the resources of the earth are cared for and shared. God encourages us to dream and commands that we act to bring our dreams to fruition. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to our worship this morning. A special welcome to little Jessica down there, our mum and dad and our family, as she comes to be baptised into the God's family. And so you're all very, very welcome. The order of service has a number of intimations, but I hope you're sitting comfortably because I have quite a few more to give. It's a busy Sunday for intimations. And one that is actually in the order of service, but I've been asked to give it a gentle nudge because it's well worth listening to, is that the Guild meet on Tuesday afternoon, and their speaker is Irene, who is going to give a talk on her trip to the Holy Land. So a little gentle nudge to anybody who would like to come along on Tuesday afternoon. You don't need to be a regular Guild member, but you'd be very welcome along at the Hub on Tuesday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon at the Kirk Centre. This afternoon we have a service at the Deeside Care Home at 2:30. We're going to be celebrating Holy Communion with the residents who come along to the service this afternoon, and a warm welcome to anybody who would like to join us for a short time of worship there. And then this evening, a further opportunity to worship as we begin this season's evening services, as the sun goes down service, a time of quiet and reflection in the candlelit sanctuary. And it's always a wonderful time just to sit and be still and be ministered to. Now to my list. Last Sunday's Christian Aid appeal was very, very successful. So a huge thank you. The totals that I had midweek were that there was £855 raised in total, £489 of that to the Harvest Appeal, £366 to the Indonesian Appeal. So thank you so much to everybody that contributed to that. On the Friday prior to that, the big breakfast, again, another successful morning. It was about 750, I'm thinking, is about the total that's been raised so far for the big breakfast, the children's STV Children's Appeal. This coming Thursday, we begin something very new to us. We're going to have a short time of worship on a Thursday evening once a month in a sort of contemporary cafe style. Along in the Hub, and the music will be contemporary music. And there'll be some discussion around the coffee tables, a time of about 45 minutes together, coffee and cakes offered as well, and I welcome to anybody who'd come along and join us for that. Another thank you. The care group had their coffee morning yesterday morning. It was lovely. I thoroughly enjoyed my cheese scones, whoever made them. There was about £400 raised for the care group's work. So again, a thank you to everybody who came and supported, helped, and helped raise that sum of money. A further opportunity to do some good. In 2 weeks' time, the 28th of October, is our Shoebox Sunday. And there are lots of boxes, shoeboxes wrapped, ready for filling for the Blythswood Appeal. So if during coffee time you would like to purchase a wrapped box, they're £1 each. The £1 goes towards the transport costs of the boxes once they're all sorted and filled. And the Guild box sorting is to be held on the 23rd of October. So you've only really got next Sunday to drop things off if you're dropping off loose things as opposed to wrapped boxes. Is that right, Carol? Okay, right, we're almost there. A welcome to Natalie up in the organ. Emily's on holiday this Sunday, so we have the real pleasure of having Natalie with us again to accompany us in our worship. And I think That's everything I needed to add or highlight for now. If I've missed something, I'm really sorry, and I hope it's there written down for you. We are here this morning to worship God. The Lord says, I will pour out my spirit on all my people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Today, let us prophesy together. Let us dream dreams together. Let us see visions of a better future together. Today, let us worship God. Our hymn is number 16 in your hymn books, the psalm, The Lord's My Shepherd. Come now to God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord of creation, to you be all praise. The universe is full of your glory. Creation reflects the breadth, depth, and quality of your special character. Like the colours of the rainbow, the life you create is varied and full of uniqueness, yet blended together. It is all part of the one gift of life you make possible. A sign pointing us to the source of all that is good. Lord, make us willing to dream. May we open our eyes to the potential within us and the possibilities that surround us. Let us not settle for the minimum, but instead strive for the maximum. Let us not wake up and be content to make do, but instead expand the gift of each new day to its full stretch. Let us not limit the capability within us as we hold back from giving what we can, but instead direct our energies and talents outwardly, that we might recognise and affect the good we can do in the world around us. Merciful God, when we are dull and safe and guarded, and withhold from life the full giftedness that is within us, intervene with your Spirit and challenge us to be more ambitious in using the talents you provide to us. We know you are a God who gives second chances. Restore us, renew us, reinvigorate us. As people forgiven, reveal a new pathway. Point us in a direction of travel that is more productive toward the building of your kingdom, and that is more in tune with life, the life that you will for us. And hear us as we pray together Jesus' prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. Is empty here like sewing? Oh, I've got a few. Do you like sewing? Oh, interesting. I might have a task for you then. I do like sewing when I can find time to sew. And one of the things I've recently started making is some little bits of patchwork things. And I brought lots of bits of material with me this morning. Lots of bright colours. Can I, please, can you come and hold some of this for me? Lots of bright colours. So some of it's already cut up in squares, ready to do a wee bit of patchwork. Do you want to see if you could lay out just a little bit of patchwork? Do you know what patchwork looks like? If you lay just a pattern with those different squares of coloured bits of material out on the just eye, see how you get on. Uh-huh. So lots of different colours there, isn't there? Lots of stripy things, dotty things, flowery things. I even found some Christmas-themed material here. Maybe I might get round to making something for Christmas. But I've got lots of little scraps of material here that could be made into all kinds of things. We're going to hear a story this morning in church about a young man called Joseph. And Joseph was, at the time, the youngest of the brothers, but his father seemed to favour him in some way. And one of the things that his father had made for him was a very special coat. Now, legend, and I say legend, says that this coat had many colours. But actually, the Bible doesn't say that at all. It just says it's a special coat. So when you think about Joseph and his technicolour dream coat, really his coat would possibly have just been quite dull. But maybe some of these colours here are maybe how we might have imagined Joseph's coat to look like. How are you getting on? You're laying them all out. You've got all the stripes. You like the stripes? Okay, well, we're getting some dots now. Lots of dotted, looks like dots. What else have we got? More dots? Well, I was wondering, you see, Fraser, if you would like to, you could take some of these away and sew them together and make something. Would you do that? Fiona, is that okay? just better check with Mum first. So you can have a look through there and see if there's things that you like, or even if there's more in here that you like, and maybe you could make something and bring it back one Sunday. Would that be okay? A little project for you to do. That would be nice. And then we'd like to see that, wouldn't we? We'd like to see your efforts. So I will leave this material over here just now, and I'll leave you to play with those if you want. And you could take away what you like and make something for us and bring it back. And it will be colourful, maybe a bit more colourful than Joseph's jacket really was. But we're going to hear later on in our service all about Joseph and his coat. In the meantime, we're going to sing together. And we're going to sing hymn 493. It's me, It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer.
Our first reading this morning is Genesis chapter 37, beginning at verse 2, which is on page 40 of the Old Testament section of the Pew Bibles. It's about Joseph and his at times strained relationship with his brothers. Joseph, a young man of 17, took care of the sheep and goats with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's concubines. He brought bad reports to his father about what his brothers were doing. Jacob loved Joseph more than all his other sons because he had been born to him when he was old. He made a long robe with full sleeves for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved Joseph more than he loved them, they hated their brother so much that they would not speak to him in a friendly manner. One night, Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers about it, they hated him even more. He said, "Listen to the dream I had. We were all in the field tying up sheaves of wheat, when my sheaf got up and stood up straight. Yours formed a circle round mine and bowed down to it. Do you think you are going to be a king and rule over us?" his brothers asked. So they hated him even more because of his dreams and because of what he had said about them. Then Joseph had another dream and said to his brothers, "I had another dream in which I saw the sun, the moon, and 11 stars bowing down to me." He also told the dream to his father, and his father scolded him. "What kind of a dream is that? Do you think that your mother, your brothers, and I are going to come and bow down to you?" Joseph's brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept thinking about the whole matter. One day, when Joseph's brothers had gone to Shechem to take care of their father's flock, Jacob said to Joseph, "I want you to go to Shechem, where your brothers are taking care of the flock." Joseph answered, "I am ready." His father said, "Go and see if your brothers are safe and if the flock is all right. Then come back and tell me." So his father sent him on his way from the valley of Hebron. Joseph arrived at Shechem and was wandering about in the country when a man saw him and asked him, "What are you looking for?" "I am looking for my brothers who are taking care of their flock," he answered. "Can you tell me where they are?" The man said, "They have already left. I heard them say that they were going to Dothan." So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. They saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted against him and decided to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes that dreamer. Come on now, let's kill him and throw his body into one of the dry wells. We can say that a wild animal killed him. Then we will see what becomes of his dreams." Reuben heard them and tried to save Joseph. "Let's not kill him," he said. "Just throw him into this well in the wilderness, but don't hurt him." He said this, planning to save him from them and send him back to his father. When Joseph came up to his brothers, they ripped off his long robe with full sleeves. Then they took him and threw him into the well, which was dry. While they were eating, they suddenly saw a group of Ishmaelites traveling from Gilead to Egypt. Their camels were loaded with spices and resins. Joseph said to his brothers, "What will we gain by killing our brother and covering up the murder? Let's sell him to these Ishmaelites. Then we won't have to hurt him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood." His brothers agreed. And when some Midianite traders came by, the brothers pulled Joseph out of the well and sold him for 20 pieces of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt. When Reuben came back to the well and found that Joseph was not there, he tore his clothes in sorrow. He returned to his brothers and said, "The boy is not there. What am I going to do?" Then they killed a goat and dipped Joseph's robe in its blood. They took the robe to their father and said, "We found this. Does it belong to your son?" He recognized it and said, "Yes, it is his. Some wild animal has killed him. My son Joseph has been torn to pieces." Jacob tore his clothes in sorrow and put on sackcloth. He mourned for his son a long time. All his sons and daughters came to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted and said, "I will go down to the world of the dead, still mourning for my son." So he continued to mourn for his son Joseph. Meanwhile, in Egypt, the Midianites had sold Joseph to Potiphar, one of the king's officers, who was the captain of the palace guard. Our second reading is Psalm 30, verses 1 to 3. That's on page 552 of the Old Testament section. "I praise you, Lord, because you have saved me and kept my enemies from gloating over me. I cried to you for help, O Lord my God, and you healed me. You kept me from the grave. I was on my way to the depths below, but you restored my life." Amen.
He was 17, on the cusp of manhood. He had big ideas. He was getting big for his boots. It was clear to my brothers that he, being the youngest, was Dad's favourite. They hated him because of that. The bright robe that our father had bought him didn't help. No hand-me-downs for Joseph, only the new expensive clothes that they had never had. And then there were Joseph's dreams. If he'd had any sense, he'd have kept them to himself, but he didn't. We all heard about the sheaves in the field bowing down to Joseph. And then he told us that he'd dreamt that the sun and moon and 11 stars bowed down to him. It didn't take Dad long to work out who the sun, moon and stars were, and he told Joseph that he'd heard enough. My brothers were often away from home, caring for our father's sheep and goats. Joseph didn't always go with them. One day, Dad sent Joseph to find his brothers, who were looking after the flocks at Shechem, and then came back and tell him if all was well. When our brothers returned home, they brought with them Joseph's robe, which was covered in blood. Dad assumed that Joseph had been killed by and eaten by wild animals, and he mourned for Joseph for many days. Much, much later, Reuben told me what had all really happened, and he told me that I never had to tell Dad. When our brothers had seen Joseph coming through the fields, they had decided to kill him. Reuben had persuaded them not to kill Joseph, but to strip him of his robe and put him in a dry pit whilst they decided what to do with him. Reuben had intended to rescue Joseph later and send him home, but he never got the chance. While the brothers were eating and Joseph was in the pit, they watched some traders on their way to Egypt carrying goods to sell. The traders gave our brother Judah an idea, and he persuaded his brothers to pull Joseph out of the pit and sell him to some Ishmaelite traders. They got 20 pieces of silver for him. I have no idea what they did with the money. Reuben didn't tell me that. Then they daubed Joseph's robe with animal blood and concocted the story they had told Dad. The secret of Joseph is a big secret to keep. Sometimes I wish Reuben had never told me, but I knew he needed to tell someone, and that someone was me. I sometimes wonder what happened to Joseph. If he survived the trip to Egypt, then he was probably sold as a slave. If he's alive, I wonder if he still has such vivid dreams. If he does, I hope he's learned to keep them to himself. Stand to sing one of the hymns, the words of which are in your order of service. A little hymn called Joseph Was His Father's Favourite. It's sung to Beach Spring, so the tune may well be familiar if the words are new.
Thank you.
What 17-year-old doesn't have dreams? Dreams of a successful future, dreams of finding love, dreams of passing their driving test, dreams of long lies on a Sunday morning, dreams of passing exams, lots of dreams. And why not? 17 is a special age, on the cusp of adulthood, childhood behind them. It's a time of opportunity and little responsibility. For some of us, 17 was a long time ago. For others, maybe not so long ago. And for some, it is yet to be. I think back to when I was 17, 30-something years ago, and I remember the dreams I had. Dreams of a successful future, dreams of finding love, dreams of passing my driving test, dreams of long lies, dreams of passing exams. And well, did my dreams come true? I think so. I've had a good life with my share of success along the way. I was reminded yesterday that tomorrow will be exactly a year since I was interviewed by your nominating committee. I found love. Indeed, Neil and I have been together since I was 17. I passed my driving test when I was 18. I still dream of long lies. And I have passed and failed lots of exams. But where I am today is not where I thought I would be at 17. At 17, my dreams included finishing college and joining the civil service, or the RAF, or indeed the Royal Army Women's Band. Being called by God to ministry was simply not on my radar. At 17, the world is at your feet. It can be an exciting age, but it can also be a stressful age. I'm not sure I would want to be 17 again. Joseph was 17 when we meet him in his story. And over the next few weeks, we're going to follow his story and his place in our scriptures. Joseph's brothers see him as a bit of a dreamer. There's a dreamer in all of us, though. It's not just 17-year-olds who dream. However, in any group, family, or circle of friends, we recognize that some dare to dream more than others. And in Joseph's family, it appears he was that person. Maybe he was the type of young man who others felt lived with his head in the clouds, distanced from reality. Maybe he was often caught in a daydream and others felt frustrated as they put in the hard graft. Generally, we are taught that it is a positive thing to dream as a child, unless we should be getting on with homework, of course, or the chores around the house. Often we become transfixed as a young person about the possibilities of life and who and what we could become. We might say God encourages us in that, because this story, I think, tells us something about the expansion of God's plan for all our lives as we push the boundaries further and further back. As we get older, though, and settle into habits and patterns and lifestyles, we become, and I think we should become, more realistic. Very few of us are left continuing to create and expand our dreams. And we can often criticize others as being dreamers, as if it's a negative thing. Those who successfully dream up something different and who pursue it and achieve it, we describe as lucky. Yet God wants us to continue to dream the dream, to be the best we can be, to reach our full potential. And Scripture directs us towards the growth of ideas and the cultivation of those dreams we have that stretch us towards achieving the fulfillment of our capabilities and completing the potential inside us to contribute positively to others, the society and world. We might say to fulfill our calling, to live as a follower of God and to keep the dream God has for us alive, we need to keep dreaming. In that way, we might expand the horizons of the life God has created for us. Do you consider yourself a dreamer. Disney on Ice is currently touring large arenas around the country and will arrive here in Aberdeen in March. And this show is called Dream Big. Disney's success is built around the ability of young people and not so young people to be dreamers, to have open minds and to be entered into the world of the characters and the stories without limiting our imaginations. And Disney has a Dreamers Academy, which seeks applicants who, it says, are inspired, motivated, and prepared to dream big. According to their Dreamers Activity website, dreamers have six attributes. They have intellectual curiosity, a love for learning and creativity. They have compassion, caring for those around them. They have courage, facing obstacles with poise and maturity. They have a positive outlook, a generous spirit, an optimism about the future. That's not a bad list of attributes for anyone, is it? Now, maybe not a list that Joseph would measure up well against. The story of Joseph is interesting in that God is not mentioned. We could say it's not a very religious story, but then again, of course, it is, because this is a story about life, about the inner make of individuals and the interaction between individuals within families or as part of society. And maybe Joseph should have been more sensitive to his brother's feelings. To share two dreams in the way he did was insulting. We can only imagine how they must have felt and what they said to Joseph in response. His frankness and boldness sparked the complicity that led to separation and to exile. Yet with much of the Bible, the outcome led Joseph and his family on a path where the presence of God and the revelation of God's character was slowly and surely revealed, as we will see over the coming weeks. Joseph dreamed big. His dream came from a desire to rise from the bottom of the pile and be listened to and to be respected by his brothers. Who is to say if there and then there was a dream, that was a dream that God placed in him in his sleep or in his daydreaming? A few years ago, in the run-up to the independence referendum, the Church of Society Council of the Church of Scotland, in conjunction with the Scottish Church's Parliamentary Office, ran a series of events entitled Imagining Scotland's Future. And these events invited people to dream. To dream of the kind of country they wanted to live in, regardless of the outcome of the referendum. Now, I was lucky enough to run a few of these events on behalf of the council, and it was inspiring to hear what people were dreaming of. At one event, I was particularly taken by a suggestion given that whatever the outcome of the referendum, that Scotland should strive to be a good small country. Not to be obsessed by having a seat at every table or being bigger than we were, but simply to be good at what we do and to succeed in that. 32 events were held across the country and common themes started to come through. Words used like equality, fairness, justice, education, respect, honesty, community, opportunity, compassion, tolerance. This morning, we welcome little Jessica into the family of God through her baptism. And perhaps our dream today can be that by the time she is 17, that we live in a world that reflects the themes of the Imagining Scotland Futures report, so that Jessica can enter adulthood in a world where all 17-year-olds can dream their dreams and work towards having their dreams come true. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I often say that we need to be the answer to our own prayers. Maybe today's reading helps us think about being the people who can make not just a 17-year-old's dreams come true, but the dreams of God for the world and for those that we share it with. We have it in our power to act in ways that will make our world a fairer, more just world, where equality, opportunity, and education are not just dreams, where respect and honesty are taken as read, where community is important, and we all act with compassion and tolerance. What we can say is that God wants us to dream. God longs for us to remain dreamers, maybe with a little bit more circumspection and humility than Joseph showed. God needs us also to expand our sense of what is possible. God needs us to be ready to welcome within our hopes and aspiration a God-shaped vision of what is to come. As we willingly submit, who knows, our dreams might come true. As this story unpacks for us over the coming weeks, through the journey towards the fulfillment of those God-shaped dreams, it will be challenging, but hopefully an enjoyable journey at the same time. Let's all be dreamers and work to make our dreams come true. Amen. We continue to worship God, this time through our offering. Let us pray. Lord God, today we receive our gifts that we offer, for we present them to you in gratitude for all good things that are provided for us through your love. In the workings of this congregation and the worldwide church of which we are a part, may we use them wisely, always for the good of your mission in the world. Amen. We sing the second of our hymns that you'll find on inside your order of service. This time it's the one called Young Joseph the Dreamer, and it's sung to the tune of Ashgrove.
Thank you.
Today is a very special day for little Jessica and her family. Jessica is only about 10 months old, just a life just starting out, just beginning. But we come together and we celebrate a new beginning for Jessica as she becomes baptised and welcomed into God's family. Children have a special place in church. Jesus himself said, "Let the children come to me and do not stop them, because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Remember this, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. And just as Jesus himself was baptized in the River Jordan, today Jessica is to be baptized and welcomed into the fellowship and the love of God and his church. And we're the fortunate ones because we get to share in this moment. But as witnesses, we also have a responsibility in welcoming Jessica and to play our part as supporters and companions in her life journey. The first child of love, Jesus, dwelt among us and in the strength of the Holy Spirit who touched him and blessed him. And it's he who draws us now to this font. And it is he who, through this simple and yet at the same time complicated act, releases us from sin and welcomes us into a new life in his name. We are promised living water to wash us clean as we become children of God. With the help of the Holy Spirit, our lives are watered and refreshed so that we might flourish and be free to walk and run in free abandon and the creativity of God's love. To invite Emma and Malcolm to bring Jessica forward. And if Millie wants to come up too, that's absolutely fine. Hello, darling. I have got some questions for you. You bring your little one cradled in your arms and under the loving gaze of your family and friends to be baptised into the love story of Jesus. As you bring Jessica, do you confess a faith by which you live, the Christian faith unique in all its mysteries and wonder, of God with us through Jesus Christ, who saved us from darkness and brought us to new life and new love?
Yes.
Do you promise to tell the story of a world changed forever by the birth of Christ Jesus to Jessica, and so with God's help create a space for her to grow into a fuller understanding of God's love for her?
Yes.
Can I ask those of you who are able in the congregation to please stand as a sign of your support that you're willing to offer Malcolm and Emma and their beautiful little Jessica, and to do so through prayer, service, fellowship, and love. I ask you to repeat these words after me. We have grown in our faith.
We have grown in our faith.
In Christ Jesus throughout our lives.
In Christ Jesus throughout our lives.
And in these moments,
we proclaim it anew.
As we welcome Jessica. Please take a seat. Let us come to God in prayer. Lord, as we bring little Jessica to the waters of life, we ask your blessing on her and her family. May they always know your love and live in the hope that is promised to each of us through Jesus Christ. May they remember this day as a special one, one that they celebrate as a complete family surrounded by those that know and love them. And may we, the witnesses to this moment, be blessed too. And may we share in the hope of this day. And help us to remember our part in being the supporters and encouragers of this beautiful family. Our prayer is one of thanks for Malcolm, Emma, Millie and Jessica for their continued happiness and the blessing they are to us. Come, Holy Spirit, transform this moment, transform this child, and transform this place with your presence in this sacrament. Amen. Now, can I get Jessica in my arms? She's good to come and see me. Hello, darling. Well, we're getting lots of smiles and chuckles earlier on. I hope that continues. Well, hello, darling. Oh, Jessica, before you were even conceived, and before you will even understand, our world and your life was changed forever in the arrival of the child Jesus, who lived among us, growing in life like you and in God like no other, taking himself to the cross, rising to new life, which is ours forever, turning the darkest nights into blessed days. And so Jessica, oh, you want to get your hands in there, don't you? At the command of Jesus and the one in whom we love in life, we bring you to these waters of life. And I baptize you. I baptize you, Jessica Ann Stables, in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, as the world is changed forever in the arrival and baptism of this child, a new world and kingdom has dawned, and we welcome little Jessica as our own, as God's own, as a child of this church. Amen. And we're still smiling, which is lovely. Fraser, can I get you to come and do me another wee favour? There's a Bible there and a little certificate. If you could give that to maybe to Jessica's daddy, that would be lovely. The certificate's inside it, it's okay. That's fine. You got just a small gift from us all here as a wee memento of today. We'll all sing together, the Lord bless you and keep you. And I'm going to take Jessica for a wee walk around the church, if that's okay.
You're darling.
Just said to me as I passed, I'm not allowed to keep her. I could happily keep you, you're just a little poppet. We come to our closing hymn, 192, All My Hope on God Is Founded. And I'll give you back to Daddy. Yes. You come back down here. There we go, sweetheart. You're such a good little girl.
Thank you.
with the blessing of God to be visionaries in our world. Go with the blessing of God to dream a better world for all. Go be a blessing to all you meet, for it is the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who rests and remains with you all today and evermore.